Alan, are you on?
Yes, I am, Bruce.
Okay, great. So we've got four of us at least.
Come on, Alan, show your face. No, you can do it, Alan.
Is it okay to go ahead?
Not yet, Mr. Chair. We don't have the attorney present.
Okay.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Alan, how are you doing?
I'm getting bored.
Well, worst problem to have, I suppose.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Okay, we're waiting for Mihaela to join us, but I see Alan and Margie, Jeremy, and Donna. Anybody else from Open Space Committee here? Okay.
Do you have anyone with you, Bruce?
No, they won't. They won't even get close. I'm here all by myself, except for Lindsay and we have Jennifer's here, of course, and Danielle.
Oh, there's Jerry.
I'm here.
Okay.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Margie.
Hey, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, Joanne is here too.
Good. I just don't see her.
I don't see her.
Yeah, it was still muted. I got it.
Hey.
Okay. So I think we have a full committee then. We're waiting for Mihaela to join us. We're trying to get her the link so she can call in. And then we'll start officially.
This is Mihaela.
So what's everybody been?
Hello?
Hello, this is Mihaela. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, Mihaela, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. How are you?
Okay. We'll start the meeting. This is the Open Space Advisory Committee meeting for Monday, May 18th, 2020. It's about 5:34. We are in a COVID meeting, which means a number of folks are remote. I would ask that we have a roll call if we could. Danielle?
Chairperson Scott?
Here.
Vice Chair Welch?
Here. Remotely.
Member Evans?
Here.
Member Hall?
Here.
Member Inverson?
Here.
Member Massad?
Here.
Member Michael? Is she joining us? The quorum is present.
Okay, did I, Joanne, are you here? Okay.
I'm not hearing you. Smooth.
All right. We'll go ahead. We do have a quorum. At this point, I don't know if we have any public who have called in. Are there any members of the public who have called in who would like to speak on a topic which is not a part of the agenda, not included on the agenda? We would ask to limit any comments to no more than 3 minutes, and we would not be able to take action or discuss any public comments at this time. Are there any public comments or anyone who would like to speak? Okay.
I see no public comment, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry?
I see no public comment.
Thank you. Okay, we have draft minutes from our last meeting, February 24th. Are there any comments, changes, corrections, edits?
I have one.
Yes.
On the minutes, it showed that Ann Bollinger was present. She was not.
Okay. That's a good point. Is there anyone else or any other comments? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes with the adjustment as outlined by Commissioner Evans. Committee member Evans.
I move to approve the meeting minutes for February 24th, 2020.
I'll second.
Okay, moved by Jerry Massad, seconded by Alan Welch. Any other final comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
This is Anderson. I have to abstain because I was not present.
Okay, Ann. Ann is abstained. I'm
Donna.
Sorry, Donna, excuse me. Abstained, and it looks like we don't have Joanne at this point. Okay, are there any modifications to the agenda?
No modifications, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer. All right, going down the meeting items, our first item is item 3A, discussion only. Review and discussion regarding Matthew Gaskell's Eagle Scout project for trail improvements and maintenance on an existing trail on the Prison Hill Recreation Area. Greg, are you there?
I am. So for the record, Greg Bergeron, Trails Coordinator. A few months ago, a young man came to us looking for, or said he wanted to do a project that involved trail work, and we have plenty of that. So we were more than happy to accommodate him. And now I'd like to introduce Matthew Gaskell to tell you about his project.
Hello, everybody hear me okay?
Yes, you're fine here in the Sierra room.
All right. So for my project, I will be working with Mr. Bergeron, the Trails Coordinator for the Parks, Recreation, Open Space Department, to conduct maintenance on a section of existing trail at Prison Hill, which is above the Clearview Trailhead. And a crew leader from Muscle Powered will be also providing technical assistance. Then we have the picture of the project location, which shows where the segment is that we're doing the maintenance on. And then next we have a closer up picture of the segment, and it shows where the old trail was and where our the trail is that we're going to be doing maintenance on. And then benefits the project. Many people are hiking on the old road, which is steep and rocky. It causes erosion that leaves a scar. So we'll conduct maintenance on an existing single track trail in order to encourage people to use the sustainable trail rather than the old one. And there's a benefit to hikers as they can access the saddle trails easier and quicker. So we need to do, we need to clear bushes and rocks. Make fixes that help to keep people on the trail and then improve the trail tread. So the next picture shows the old road, shown by the blue arrow, and it shows that it's steep and rocky. And then to the right, there's a single track trail, which is the one we're going to be improving. And then the picture shows how the trail is in need of brushing in order to clear the pathway. Next one shows bicycles going off the trail because the tread is too narrow and the bush is overgrown. Next it shows that that we need to leave some on the downhill, some brush on the downhill side to help keep people on the trail. And then the next one says that we need to outslope the tread so that it drains water. So this picture. And then the tools we'll be using are McLeod's shovels, whoppers, rock bar, and pigmatics. The materials and dates. So we're planning to do the project on a weekend in summer or fall. And the volunteers that are going to be there need to bring closed-toed shoes, long-sleeve shirts, gloves, safety glasses or sunglasses, and long pants. The next safety, some safety concerns are improper use of tools, like tools swung overhead, hazards in the area, like snakes, bees, tripping hazards, dehydration and sunburn. And then we'll give a safety talk on the day of the project. We'll have sunscreen and bug spray, and we'll expect everyone's PPE. The volunteers must sign a waiver, and we'll have first aid kits on hand. And that's it. Thanks for listening. Any questions?
Are there any questions from the committee?
This is Donna. I do have one question. What are you going to do about the old trail that you want to decommission?
Could you say that again? I couldn't quite hear it.
What are you planning on doing about the old trail that you want to decommission?
I'm pretty sure we're going to put some like rocks and stuff in front of it so that people don't use it and use the trail that we're fixing up.
Greg, have you got that, some of those concepts or practices pretty much lined out?
Yeah, so the old road that he's talking about is pretty significant road that's going to require some decommissioning. It'll require some mechanization. It's really beyond the scope of the project right now, but it's something that we will be working on later.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from the committee? Matthew, a very nice, concise, focused presentation. Thank you, and we look forward to your improvement project as we make our way across Prison Hill. It's pretty exciting when you start with the new trailhead at Fifth Street and you see all the things that have happened so far. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any public comments with regard to that particular item?
I don't see any public comment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, our next item, 3B, Park Ranger Report. John Costello and Tyler Kerber.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
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 John Costello, Park Ranger.
And Park Ranger Tyler Kerber.
So we have a short presentation, a PowerPoint presentation for you all. We'll try to keep it short and sweet, but we appreciate you guys letting us present for you tonight. So hopefully everybody has access and can see the May 2020 Park Ranger Report.
There we go.
Can everybody see that okay?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
We'll go ahead and get started. Thank you, guys. Okay, so the reason that we wanted to, you know, obviously do this report so you guys could kind of get an idea of what we're doing in our open space areas. We use a certain documentation method called RT. It's Request Tracker. So we have the ability to document what kind of contacts we're making out in the field, what kind of dump sites we're picking up, certain things like that. So we're going to kind of dive into that to give you guys a better idea of what we're using our time doing in open space areas, such as Prison Hill, Carson River Canyon, Ambrose Natural Area, places like that. So. First on the list for park ranger data, we have miscellaneous RTs. I just explained what RT stands for, Request Tracker. So it's basically just a way for us to document certain things. And then we're going to go over enforcement contacts. So enforcement contacts basically lets us document how many contacts we're out with where we have to enforce a open space rule or regulation. For instance, in Carson River Canyon, we don't allow campfires. We don't allow illegal shooting. So those are going to be your enforcement contacts. And then we have our maintenance RTs. These are going to be the maintenance tasks that you're either working with Jared or open space maintenance coordinator with, or we're performing these tasks ourselves. If, you know, if we're out patrolling in a certain area, you know, this is a common issue at East Silver Saddle Ranch. We've had quite a bit of fence damage over there because people like to cook donuts in the brand new parking lot that was put in over at East Silver Saddle Ranch over off of Sierra Vista. So, you know, Tyler will be out on patrol and he'll notice that, you know, there's a good section of fence that's out. So, that's what, you know, we've documented for maintenance RTs. So the miscellaneous RTs, these are the numbers that we have. Out of a total of 144 total miscellaneous RTs, and I just, you know, I categorize these by miscellaneous enforcement and maintenance. So our first is PR contact. That's going to be a public relation contact that we're all with. You know, that's 12 out of the 144. Patrol. You know, so that's when we're going into these areas and we're checking things out. We don't necessarily have a specific task, but we're just checking on an area. You know, we have close to 9,000 acres or plus. And, you know, so there's certain areas that we're going to hit more than others. You know, it depends on the usage of that area. Citizen assist when... You know, there's a car broken down or somebody lost their dog, lost their keys, lost wallet, things of that. So those are citizen assists. That's 13. Citizen report, you know, anytime they're taking a report from a citizen and they are going to report a violation to us, that's what that is. Any resource damage. So, you know, in our open space areas, like I was alluding to earlier, is, you know, we have people cooking donuts, and then they go off, you know, maybe off trail and run over some sagebrush. That's going to be what we classify as resource damage. And we're going to, you know, make an RT and ultimately figure out how we can, you know, fix that issue, you know, whether it's vertical mulching or, you know, we have to, you know, seed in that area, things like that. So, we do get quite a few abandoned vehicles in our areas where people, you know, they're either stolen or they don't want the vehicle anymore and the plates are surrendered. You know, those are, you know, and then they strip them down to the bones and there's nothing but a frame out there. So we have to figure out, you know, what we're going to do with that vehicle in our open space areas. And then we got vandalism. Vandalism's a big one, obviously. So that's a good percentage of our miscellaneous contact or miscellaneous RTs. I'm sorry. You know, and that's anywhere from, fence damage, or graffiti on a sign that we have. And then agency assist. We help out a lot with, Carson City Sheriff's Office, search and rescue, the fire department. You know, anytime there's a fire in an open space area, the rangers are responding for that as well. So we'll go ahead and move on to our next enforcement contacts. So what I wanted to do, I put in two graphs for you guys just to kind of give you an idea percentage-wise of what we're dealing with out there. As you can see, if you look at the first slide, out of the total 78 contacts, 36% of those contacts are camping. So that's when, you know, Tyler and myself or our seasonal ranger, you know, we're going into Carson River Canyon and we're coming across either a transient camp or it might be an entire family that's together and they're camping, you know, down by the river. You know, unfortunately, that's not allowed on Carson City property. So that's something that we're going to enforce. As you can see, OHV, just to kind of give you a little background on OHV, you can see that's a small percentage. For those of you that don't know what OHV is, off-highway vehicle, the Rangers actually just recently got trained to assist with, you know, some of the activity that's going on the south end of Prison Hill. So we went through a training with, I can't think of the acronym now. Greg would know it. NOVAC, I think. And yeah, so we can test spark arrestors because, you know, that can create a fire hazard, you know, in the summer months. Check decibel levels and check for registration, things like that. So those are the OHV contacts that we're making, you know, people that may go off-road. Compliance is going to be 31%. Parking is 9%. We still do have illegal shooting. You know, illegal shooting has gone down a lot, specifically in Carson River Canyon in the 4.5 years that I've been on. However, it does still happen. We do have great signage in the canyon, but I think, you know, our presence makes a difference, and we have, you know, significantly decreased, you know, how many people were coming across in the canyon illegally shooting, for instance, at the wall in Carson River Canyon. And then that next graph that you'll see is just the numbers. I just wanted to put in a percentage graph for the enforcement contacts. Out of 78 total contacts, you can see how many were in each. And then we'll go ahead and go to our maintenance RTs. And trash mob, you'll see. These are all pretty self-explanatory. Trash mob, this is helping out with muscle power at any time that we have to respond in. I know I've worked with Donna quite a bit in the past on the trash mobs, and, you know, they've done a great job, and we have to do the easy work where we come in and pick up all the bags and take them to the dump. And then we got sign installation, all of the rules and regulation signs that you see out in our parks, I mean, our open space areas, like Carson River Canyon, Silver Saddle Ranch, East Silver Saddle Ranch, you know, anything that we've installed. And then trash cleanups. You know, we have 23 trash cleanups. So, you know, that's going to be, for the most part, events that we put together for trash cleanups, or where we're getting out of our vehicle and we're going to go pick up a couple bags of trash when we're out on patrol. And then anytime that we've had to install fencing, general maintenance, graffiti is 20. You know, we've had 20 RTs for graffiti, you know, that still tends to be a problem. And then dump sites is 55. So if you look, you know, at our numbers from, say, 2017, 2018, we've been a lot more diligent on reporting everything, you know, enforcement, maintenance. That's why we're able to provide you guys with these numbers right now, because we've been diligent within the last year with reporting. So our dump sites are at 55. You know, that's quite a bit in a year period. And, you know, those are dump sites that we come across in all of our open space areas. The majority of them are going to be East Silver Saddle, Carson River Canyon, Ambrose, places like that. But we do get dump sites in every one of our open space areas. So, you know, we'll either get a report from somebody, you know, whether they're, you know, on with us or they're a citizen, or when we're out on patrol or on another call, we'll notice that dump site and clean that up as soon as possible. And then the last one's homeless camps, 14. So those are when we'll see a homeless, you know, transient camp out in Carson River Canyon, for instance. We'll tag it. We have a policy, you know, we'll red tag it for 24, 48 hours. It kind of depends on how big the camp is, and then we'll go and clean that up. So we'll go to the next slide and comparing the numbers a little bit. You know, as I kind of mentioned, the numbers are going to be very different from 2017, 2018. I know in the past I've written a narrative for you guys. We've never done a presentation for you. and the numbers were pretty minuscule compared to what what we're showing you guys right now. So 2017, I reported 11 dump sites, 18, 6, and 2019 is 55. And you're probably thinking, wow, why is that number so high, especially because we have, more rangers, there should be less dump sites. But the reason that we have that number is because we do have more rangers and we have more eyes and boots on the ground out in our open space areas. And we're able to find those dump sites quicker and address that situation right then and there. So that number is pretty high. And then sign vandalism, you see that. And then one thing I just included was, we have two full-time rangers and one seasonal ranger aide for 8,000 plus acres of open spaces and trails, as you guys well know. And we actually said goodbye to our seasonal ranger today, Michael Wood. He's done a great job for us over the last 6 months, and his his season's completed now. So we now have two full-time rangers, Tyler and myself, and we still have these contacts that are increasing. We're still going to continue with RT. And I think it's been great that we've been able to find a system that's worked for us to document all of these numbers, for you guys and ourselves, for areas where we can improve. So I'm gonna go ahead and kick it over to Tyler. I know I talked a little longer.
What? Thank you, Tyler.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I actually have a couple more slides. Park ranger trainings, I'll make it real quick. Responding to emergencies, these are just to give you guys an idea of what types of trainings the park rangers go through. So we're certified for responding to emergencies, first aid, CPR, AED, wilderness first aid. We're chief range safety officer, so we're chief RSO certified, and that pertains to the rifle range. And then we go to a great parks conference every year. It's a Park Rangers Association of California Parks Training Conference. It's a mouthful, but there are great trainings at that conference because it covers a little bit of everything. It's kind of the most bang for our buck, if you will, because we get enforcement, maintenance, and interpretive training out of this one conference. So it's been great. And then, the OHV training that I mentioned to you guys a little earlier, checking for spark arrestors, decibel levels, and registration to make sure that everybody's, recreating responsibly on the south end of Prison Hill specifically, because I know everybody's put a lot of time and effort into that. So we want to make sure that that continues, to go well and is a great facility. So, and then the next slide is just some pictures of us doing our job. So, nothing too exciting. And that's at the south end of Prison Hill making contact. We were kind of using that guy as a education piece for us when we were out with Novak. So, that's a little bit about what we do as far as from a maintenance and enforcement standpoint. And Tyler's going to tell you a little bit about our interp standpoint.
All right, next slide. All right, so my name is Park Ranger Tyler Kerber. I came into this full-time position back in February. But before that, I was actually doing some of the seasonal ranger aid stuff for about a year, year and a half. So it's been really great. I kind of stepped into the more interpretive and volunteering role between me and John. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that because it is it's a pretty good aspect of our position, completely on the other side. Last year was the best year we've had so far with community outreach. I personally have built countless relationships with families, individuals new to the area, and older folks that are starting to explore the trails. Our interpretive spikes, as well as the volunteer opportunities, have become relatively popular and continue to be a pretty important asset to the community. All right, so before I talk about how great last year was and how great this year is turning out to be, even with all this going on, I want to briefly talk about the history of the interpretive programs. Ranger Costello here started the interpretive programs back in 2017 with the help of an AmeriCorps VISTA volunteer. They began by scheduling a few programs here and there to get the community involved with this new idea. The hope was to one day have the community members lead hikes and plan events to engage the rest of the community in our parks and open space. Programs were led by both park rangers and AmeriCorps VISTA volunteer with some pretty good positive feedback. When the next AmeriCorps arrived back in 2018, she continued the program set in place and built some of her own. We were hosting about one hike a month on average and maybe less than 20 participants per month. The programs were everything from a hike to a beautiful spot along the Carson River to things like yoga and art in the park. The programs began seeing some pretty good success. Next slide. When the previous AmeriCorps VISTA community education coordinator, Kelsey Stocker, left, I decided to lead the hikes and kind of run the interpretive programs until we hired a new one. I quickly found that the effect of having a ranger lead these hikes was pretty incredible. I received great reviews. We started to see some of the participation numbers go up, and the program started to feel more like something you would find in a national park or a state park. I began looking at other ways to engage the community and started our monthly full moon hikes under each month's full moon. The hikes actually became so popular that we were seeing 70 to 80 participants per hike, which is great, because I was starting to notice that the hikes were way more than just an educational opportunity for the community. I started to call them preventative law enforcement. Community members have the opportunity to spend an hour or two with a park ranger learning about the area through our eyes. They get to learn the rules and regulations, cultural history, and of course the seven important leave no trace principles, all within our open space and on our trails. We get to build these lasting relationships with participants that will ultimately affect their decision-making when they are recreating in open space and on our trails. And when they make positive, safe decisions, those ideas spread to their friends and family and in turn prevent anything happening that we would end up needing to enforce. I've actually seen evidence of this concept actually working. There have been a couple times when I was on foot patrol at Kings Canyon or Prison Hill, and I have ran into hikers that joined me on a full moon hike or an educational hike. One couple even told me they started hiking in Carson City specifically because of the full moon hike at Kings Canyon. And if I can get at least one person coming away from these interpretive events with a new understanding and respect of the trails and open space, then I have done my job and the interpretive programs have actually done their job. Our final AmeriCorps in this position, Kristen Bryan, started on May 11th. And excited to work out the kinks to our current programs and build some new lasting relationships that will hopefully promote positive outdoor recreation in our open space and on our trails. So the next slide. Since the start of the interpretive programs back in 2017, we have seen a steady increase in the number of participants. 2019 saw the highest number of participants in any year, and 2020, even with all this happening in our community, just including January, February, March, still has a higher number of participants than the same time last year. And the reason I'm counting the average number of participants a month or the total amount in one year is simply because those are the amount of people the park rangers and the department are hopefully making a positive impact on. So there are approximately 559 people from last year that we may never have to be out with in an enforcement position. And with the interpretive rents doing so well, we've also seen an increase in the amount of volunteers that we have. So next slide. I've started to notice that our volunteers are sometimes the same participants on our interpretive hikes, which also tells me how good of an impact the hikes have on the community. Chelsea Kinchlow, the previous AmeriCorps VISTA volunteer coordinator, did a great job last year building some of these volunteer programs, including the Adopt a Trail program. The table here shows all the volunteer data for 2019. We had 277 participants, 572 and a half hours of work, and we had a total monetary value of $12,944.23. On open space specifically, we spent a total of 226.5 volunteer hours with a monetary value of $5,121.88. Our current volunteer coordinator, Mackenzie Gargano, is doing just as great. She coordinated an incredible cleanup in February that saw us collecting over 3.5 tons of trash from the East Silver Saddle Ranch area, and that's east of Sierra Vista Looming, in those little washouts, as well as an interpretive cottonwood wrapping along the Empire Ranch Trail. And again, with the park rangers volunteering with or leading these programs, the relationships that we are building are very positive. I conducted a Carson River Canyon rubbish ride back in November. I wanted to get people back to Carson River Canyon, and I didn't want them to have to bring their own cars, so we turned it into more of an interpretive event, where I got to take them back there on bicycle, and we stopped at major problem areas. We ended up cleaning up over 400 pounds of trash just in Carson River Canyon, which was pretty awesome. So next slide. The next slide just shows some of the photos, if you want to skip through them. These are from all of our interpretive events and volunteer programs from last year, including some of the full moon hikes and, the rubbish ride is right there. That brings me to my next slide. Speaking of photos, with the stay-at-home order in place, we have even started conducting interpretive hikes virtually and educating the public through social media like Facebook and Instagram. That video right there is a video of Ranger John Costello. He's become quite the celebrity. He actually has the most views on our Facebook page, as well as Lindsay Boyer and Greg Berger. They both have been in our videos as well. And I think that one, if you play that one, I guess the one with Greg, the one that works. I also tried taking the community on one of my foot patrols, which was a success, and I plan on doing some more, even with restrictions lifted. I think it's a great way for the community to see what we do, specifically as park rangers in Carson City. And our current volunteer coordinator came up with a way to get people volunteering without us planning any of this and getting people together. She started an Instagram challenge called the CC Trash Challenge. It became pretty popular within our department, and we even got a few community members participating on Earth Day. We hope to someday maybe get a viral volunteer challenge going as well. And the next slide shows some of our statistics. So as you can see here, we are starting to gain our voice within the community. According to Facebook analytics, our videos alone have a 1,695% increase in the amount of minutes that are viewed on our Facebook page alone. And that's just since March, when the stay-at-home order went in place and we started doing all of our interpretive programs online. And since we started posting all of our educational information on Facebook, due to the pandemic, we have seen an overall increase from everything, including followers, page likes, post engagement, and the department's Facebook page. So how does this relate to open space? All the educational videos, photos, and trail information have been aimed at getting the community to recreate responsibly on the trails and in the open space areas. So as you may know, our trails this past month saw an unprecedented number of users. So we worked with Lindsay Boyer and Greg Bergeron to get as much information as we could out into the community. Concerning the trails and open space. And next slide. It isn't just Facebook that's seeing virtual engagements. I, along with our community volunteer coordinator, Mackenzie Gargano, Ranger John Costello, and our ranger aide, Michael Wood, I've also spent some time building up our Instagram page to offer educational information, beautiful photos, and just plain community engagement. The amount of reach that we are getting is increasing, with the last 6 posts being the most reached. And that's every time we post a new post, it becomes one of the most reached ones. And all but 3 in the top 20 posts in the last year had a park ranger's influence. And like I mentioned, with the interpretive programs, the more we can get positive engagement within the community, the less issues may occur out in these amazing areas. And the next slide highlights some of our photos from Instagram that I have posted and John Costello has posted. And if you haven't already, you can go check out our Instagram page, Carson_City_Parks. It's a great way, It's a really good tool for us to educate the community without having to enforce anything. And the next slide. With the growing popularity of our internment programs, it is becoming increasingly apparent on the lasting effects of them. Just spending 1 hour with a passionate park ranger, in my opinion, is more beneficial than enforcing a rule with the same person. And the more people that gain a new respect for the open space and trails, the more reports we'll get, and the more community will kind of police themselves. We'll also see more community engagement in our volunteer opportunities, and ultimately some safer trails. People will walk away from these programs having a greater understanding and respect for them, and maybe even take some ownership in them and come out and volunteer with us. And that's it. If anybody has any questions, thank you guys for listening to that. That went on a little bit longer than we thought.
Thank you, Tyler and John. Are there any questions from the committee?
This is Donna. I want to say you guys are doing a fantastic job and really making a big difference in this community. But I also did have a question with COVID and trash mob not being able to get out there. Are you seeing an increase in the trash problem?
No, we had a lack of maintenance staff, so some of the trash is blowing out of the overflowing trash cans that we are trying our hardest to stay on top of. But that's pretty much it. We haven't really found any new dump sites that were fresh, or we haven't really spent too much time needing to clean up anything.
Yeah, with COVID going on, I mean, we've definitely made concentrated effort on specific open space areas and specific park areas that are getting higher use. And, you know, we're communicating amongst ourselves and saying, hey, we need to check this area out a little more because, you know, we've noticed that we've had to change this trash can a few times. And just going back to the COVID-19 stuff, it has been incredible because there for a while, it was like every weekend was a holiday weekend because, you know, people were starting to get stir crazy in their houses and going out to parks and open space areas. And, you know, we had to reduce staff, you know, because of everything that was going on. And then, and we had increased visitation. So, we haven't seen really an uptick in any trash or dump sites specifically because we're trying to make more of a presence in those areas. So
that's good to hear. Great.
Any other questions or comments from the committee? Any public comments?
I see no public comment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Tyler and John, you guys are doing a great job. We really appreciate the interpretive side and the education. All right.
Hello, Kim.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I want to thank the guys for putting this together. I'm thinking that this wasn't, that you probably are all excited about being in front of a desk for all the time that it took to put this together. So thank you very much for sacrificing for our improved knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm curious, I'm looking at the report for the RTs. Are these things that you generate based on your experiences during the day?
So we have specifically, because Request Tracker was initially put together to generate a ticket, you could call it, for, say, Public Works or the maintenance staff to fix, you know, like a leak in an irrigation system, something like that. So we tried to tailor it more towards what we're doing. So we put, you know, there's specific boxes that you can check when you go down in RP. So we'll do open space, and then you can go down to another drop box, and there's going to be Ambrose, or there's Carson River Canyon, or there's East Silver Saddle Ranch, Silver Saddle Ranch. So we can choose any of those sections. And then we can collect, you know, the data that we're, you know, we're out with that specific situation. And then on our iPads, while we're out in the field, or we can bring that information back to our office and then ultimately input that data into Request Tracker. And it's going to track specific things like hours, you know, how many hours are we spending, you know, in Carson River Canyon. And it's tough with the hours, which is why, you know, say for next year, you know, when we're giving this presentation to you guys, we'd love to give you more of an idea of hours of where our time spent, because if we're making a PR contact for 5 to 10 minutes, you know, and typically a PR contact, like a public relation contact, is going to be a couple minutes. We're not going to put that in RT. You know, that's going to be tough. However, if we're out on a dump site for an hour, that's something that's pretty easy for us to put into RT to where we can track the hours. So that's, you know, and I don't know if that's specifically answering your question, but if we're out with a trash cleanup or if we're out with vandalism, we're going to take care of that issue and then immediately or as soon as we can put that into RT so we can, you know, ultimately collect this data. So, you know, not, you know, just for us, but for you guys and, you know, for, you know, certain things like equipment that we may need or safety equipment or, you know, more staff or, you know, certain, you know, any other equipment that we may need. So it's data that, you know, I probably should have started collecting when I first got on in 2015, but we didn't necessarily have something that we could use like RT. Mm-hmm. But we found that how, you know, we could tailor it to our needs. And it worked.
So, so the reporting that you gave us for this presentation was over the last year. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Or was this all of 2019 or something like that?
No. So I went back to 9/19 of 19. Excuse me. I went back in a calendar year. I started collecting the data. We started this the 1st of April. So I went back to April 2019 and basically went 12 months.
Okay.
And
okay, that's
yeah, that's where this data is collected from. So it's been the last 12 months.
Okay. So do you also keep a tracking of this for parks and rec? Did you develop it on the parks on the park side of your contacts and your RTs?
Yes, ma'am. So the drop down box that I was talking about earlier, you can select parks, and then I can go to that next drop down box, and I can go to Mills Park, Carson River Park, Fuji Park, and I can select the park that way. So we're collecting this data for parks and open space, but this data that we collected for you guys to give this presentation this evening was just open space areas.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Again, it seems like it's been a really big effort, and I think it's pretty great. So these are probably significant chunks of time that you're spending on each of these RTs, because if it was a 5 or 10 minute contact, it wouldn't be included. Is that accurate?
So it's going to be included. So we have the ability when we make an RT to put the amount of time that we spent on that specific ticket, and we call them tickets. So if I'm making a PR contact at, say, Ambrose Natural Area, I'm going to put that in RT and I'm going to create a ticket. I'm just not going to put that I was there for 5 minutes with that individual, but it's still going to get documented that I have PR contact at Ambrose. So that's a lot of what you guys are seeing here and maybe we can develop some sort of system within RT to where we can track minutes as well. Because right now it's a lot easier to track the hours specifically and not so much minutes. So.
Okay. So I'm almost done, guys. I know I'm taking a ton of time here, but I was looking at this pretty carefully, and how do you guys deal with these enforcement contacts? Are you all in some danger?
You know, I feel like
customer service.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I've been in this position now for 4.5 years. We've gone through some great trainings, and I think one thing that is really unique about our position here in Carson is we have a great relationship with the Carson City Sheriff's Office. So me personally, you know, ultimately we've been trained on how to handle specific situations and, you know, like de-escalation, you know, that's one thing that we're trained on. And that's, you know, that's really, I think, our most powerful tool out in the field when we're dealing with certain things, because we don't want to enforce, we want to educate. So, you know, something, you know, that they may be doing wrong, you know, like having a campfire or like having, a camp spot, you know, a family goes out and they're out by the river in Carson River Canyon. You know, we want to go up and educate them and let them know, hey, unfortunately, you know, these are the reasons that you can't camp in Carson City and on open space property. This is the reason you can't camp this close to the river, but here are the places that you can camp. So we want to make it an educational contact, and that keeps, that keeps our, I guess you could say, high, you know, tense contact situations down, because we're educating, we're not enforcing. You know, even though we look like law enforcement officers, we have a badge, you know, we're in uniform, we have a duty belt, you know, we carry ourselves differently than deputies, you know, and we're in the field to educate and make sure everybody, you know, is having a pleasurable recreational experience, you know, and that's really our main goal, is just to make sure everybody's having a good time and, you know, hoping they're not, you know, tearing up too much. So, we have the trainings that we go through, and, me personally, I've never felt unsafe.
Okay. Thank you so much for explaining all of that. You guys, it sounds like you guys have a pretty great outdoor office.
Yeah. And just to the entire committee, I just want to thank you guys. I know we took up more time than we would have liked, but, we are passionate about what we do, and, you know, especially in open space areas. And we do really appreciate your guys' support. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Tyler. Any final questions or comments from the committee? Okay, is there any public comment?
I see no public comment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, that was a presentation, no action. Thanks, gentlemen. Keep up the good work. And it's a busy time out there, even though we have the COVID-19, so be careful. Okay, next item, 3C, public for possible action, discussion and possible action regarding open space work plan for fiscal year 2021. Lindsay and Greg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. For the record, Lindsay Boyer, open space manager as of today. So before you, included in your packet here, we have the open space work plan for fiscal year 2020-2021. And basically this plan summarizes some of the projects and priorities that we have for the upcoming fiscal year. It's broken up into several categories, capital improvement projects, land acquisitions, land management, and planning activities. Sorry for the feedback here. So before I get in and highlight a few of the projects included in here, I just wanted to explain a few of the differences you might note in this plan versus plans we've presented to you in the past. So we've added a staff lead column so we can identify, you know, what staff member is kind of taking the lead on this project in case the committee has any questions. We also went through and we really wanted this plan to be something that is achievable. So we took out anything that we felt like was a really low priority or wasn't something we were going to be able to get to, you know, in the next year. We really wanted this to be something that we can work off of and, you know, cross things off the list. So it might not be as long as in years past. We are switching out microphones. Thank you. Oh, yep, that's much better. So, yes, it might be shorter than what's been presented in years past, but that's only because these are our big priorities for the next year. So just diving in, a few things that I wanted to highlight, either new projects or things that are going to be of definite, you know, huge priority. Some of these will be covered in Greg's updates that he'll give later, like the Mexican Dam and Ditch Crossing project. But Kings Canyon is definitely one of a huge concern and priority this year. We have all the funding secured and we're working on clearances, so that will be one that we can hopefully cross off our list by this time next year. Other items such as under Prison Hill, we're working on a Prison Hill master plan that will be presented in June, so that's going to be a big item to accomplish this year. And there will be lots of action items within that plan that we'll be working off of as well. A lot of the things in here are certainly things that you guys have seen before or have been aware of. Other things I did in an effort to reduce overall size, I combined a few things. So you'll see there's a section for routine maintenance. I was able to combine a lot of items that are on here that are things we're going to be doing every year. So I wanted to highlight those, but also wanted to save some trees while we're at it. The Kings Canyon Waterfall Trailhead, that will be another big one to continue on this year, with construction happening in 2021. So that will be upcoming. You know, conservation plan for Buzzy's Ranch is another big priority for us as well. And then I separated out some items related to the programmatic agreement, Section 106, working with SHPO. I really wanted to highlight the different action items that we have going with SHPO specifically, because I think that's another area we're going to make a lot of strides in the next year, just as it relates to the programmatic agreement, and the conservation easement, developing a Nevada site stewardship program, and things like that. So, you know, with that, I know you guys have had the opportunity to read through the work plan. Also included here is a few maps of open space opportunities. So I guess with that, I'll take any specific questions that the committee has on our work plan.
Thank you, Lindsay. Greg, did you have anything to add before we go to committee comments and questions?
No, I thought Lindsay did a wonderful job.
You dodged that one. Okay, questions or comments from the committee?
I've got one.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Is this going to all be completed by the end of 2021 or 20?
That's the goal.
What is the timeline on this, on all these projects?
Yeah, so the goal is to complete these all within the fiscal year of 2020-2021. So that would be by the end of June of 2021.
Thank you.
Other comments or questions from the committee?
Well, Brad, one, this is Jeremy. I'm curious about the VNT trail north of Combs Canyon Road. Lindsay or Greg, could you inform me?
Sure, this is Greg. I can take that one. We are working on obtaining easements for that segment of historic rail bed. And currently, our DDA is working on those easements and should be done by the end of this month. And then we will work with the landowners to get signatures. The other piece of that puzzle is part of it is on that Division of State Lands property. And we've been working with Division of State Lands to get a license for trails on their property. We have an application in with them. It's been quite a few months now, but I think they're getting close. They've had to coordinate with a lot of other members of their staff because they've got some of the properties include state prisons, for example, so they have to get approval through that chain. But I think we're getting close to getting a license from the state for not only the BNT trail, but a number of others within our community.
Great. Thanks, Greg. Yeah, I've noticed this is a trail that I frequent quite a bit. I've noticed in the last 2 years or so, a lot of social trails are developing off of the main grade.
Yeah, in fact, I rode it myself on Saturday morning, and yeah, that's true. It would be nice to get signage on there so that people know where to go and where not to go.
Thanks, Greg.
Any other committee comments or questions?
This is Donna. Follow-up on the V&T. Once we get those easements and all of that, is our goal to really widen that and formalize that into more of a paved path?
Well, the goal right now is to just make the existing trail legal, and the easements will be able to allow us to widen it where it's narrow. I mean, for the most part, it's a double track trail right now. And so there's a few places where it does narrow and we need to be able to fix those. Going for a paved pathway down the road, I mean, that is an ultimate goal. We had that conversation this morning with some members of Muscle Power as well. And I believe that will involve going to the State Historic Preservation Office. I think they have some concerns with the pavement, but that would be the ultimate goal.
Yeah, there are. I know that NDOT would like to see that because they would like to get the bicycles off of the freeway and move them to this path because they allow bicycles to go onto the freeway to get over the hill into Washoe Valley, and I know kind of that is one of their goals ultimately to close that access and move them over to this if we could get this paved. But there is going to be one issue with that spring area. We're going to have to do some kind of bridging because that one spring area is wet pretty much year round.
Yeah, there is one alternative too. There's a conceptual plan for the freeway multi-use pathway to essentially follow the west and south side of the freeway, and it would connect into Hobart Road and Washoe Valley from that side, which would preclude them having to go through the old grade alignment.
We'll have to look at it to see how we can do it. But I would like to use this grade because that was the BNT, and keep it as historical as we possibly can, and satisfy SHPO where we can too.
Right, and this conceptual alignment, this wouldn't be an alternative to the B&T. It's just, but it's in the, I think the 20-year plan for pathways for the freeway multi-use pathway around Carson. So it would be in addition to.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Any other committee comments or questions?
Margie Hare has a question.
Yes, Margie.
I'm wondering about the programs that aren't on the work plan because you don't anticipate them getting done. I'm okay with those dropping off, but I hate to lose sight of them. And there's one that's been hanging on for a very long time, and it never seems to get anywhere. That's the Steinheimer Wetlands. Does anybody have any updates or ideas on how that project's moving forward?
Sorry, Margie, I was just taking some notes. I totally agree. I didn't want to, you know, remove any of those areas where, you know, we're rating them as a lower priority. So I did move them to a separate document to keep track of. And we can, you know, have a standing item report or something like that for other items that aren't included here, or they will be captured, I guess, is what I'm saying. And also any accomplishments that we do include will be reported in the annual report that we bring to you guys every year as well. Related to the Steinheimer Wetlands, I actually am not familiar with that project at all. I would love to get some more background either now or offline. You and I can have a conversation and we can reassess where that may fall in terms of priorities, because that's just not one that I'm familiar with.
Okay. Bruce, do you know if that project got finished? I don't recall ever hearing that it was finished.
Now, are you talking about the property that was the Steinheimers or the property that was the subdivision near the Boys and Girls Club, the wetlands there?
I'm talking about the wetlands area that's east of the freeway, north of the Boys and Girls Club, and south of the Lompa wetland.
So, Margie, it sounds like you're talking about Fullstone Wetlands. Does that sound
no
different?
No, because isn't Fullstone west of the freeway? Right across from the Boys and Girls Club?
Yes.
So are you...
Okay, there's a wedge. There's a wedge just south of the Lompa Wetlands, but on the same side of the freeway, that has been in work for a very long time, and I don't think it was planned to come to Carson City, but I don't know what the final, I don't think it's been finalized yet.
This is Donna. I think you're talking about that wedge just south of the Catholic Church, right next to the highway, just on the other side. It's a little wedge just south of the Catholic Church, right next to the freeway on the east side of the freeway, just north of North Ridge Drive there.
Yeah, that's what I have heard that referred to as Steinheimer Wetlands, and it was a case of it was something to do with mitigation solution, and there was going to be some kind of a property transfer. But it's been very, very slow. And the last time I heard about it was maybe a year or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, but it hadn't finished yet.
Yeah, there were some trails even started in there. I don't know if they were formally started or there were social trails. I think a Boy Scout troop or something did something with them several years ago.
Well, and so that's why I don't want it to drop off the radar completely. I don't think it's finished yet, and I don't know who knows now. That Buzzy's Ranch. Yes, Bruce?
Well, I was going to say, I think we can work with staff on that. There is some wetlands dedicated behind the Harley-Davidson, and I think that would be kind of at the north side of the area that you're talking about. But that's something that we can, you know, we can look into with staff, if only to identify it and properly list what we have to do to complete any work that needs to be done there.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
I'd be willing to do lunch with somebody and just show them where it is. Lindsay, if you want to go or something, and I can show you where I'm talking about, and then you guys, the rest of you, can figure out if there's something going on with it or something that needs to be finished with it.
Yeah, I think it's basically that area.
Can I ask a question
between Lompa and the highway and the freeway? North of Highway 50, but go ahead, Margie.
I have a question about the roof for Buzzy's Ranch, at the Buzzy's Ranch house, the stone house. I noticed in the report for the committee that it's on hold still. I'm really concerned. What can we do to help move that forward so that it happens before it's a loss?
So just a few points. Yes, I'd love to go to lunch with you and figure out exactly where those Steinhammer wetlands are and get up to speed. So obviously, that's one that hasn't stayed on our radar. And then related to Buzzy's Ranch, the holdup there is basically, you know, we'd have to go through the Section 106 process, before we could do any repairs to that roof. And we have quite a few, you know, priority projects that we've been working on in terms of Section 106, but, over the past year, we've also been working on establishing contracts with various other consultants who are able to do Section 106. So I think over the next year, you know, that might be one that we can try to slip back on the list. But it's just been a matter of priorities with the limited consulting help that we do have and all the Section 106 that we have had to complete recently. So, mm-hmm. I totally agree that, you know, it's something that needs to be addressed before it's a loss. And it's just a matter of getting that in the docket. So,
if we ever get back to our offices, I'm willing to run upstairs and rattle the door handle at SHPO again.
Well, we may need to take you up on that at some point.
Okay.
Yeah, it might be good to give them a picture of that so they can see the old stone building that needs a roof, Margie. That's one I drive by all the time, and I agree with you. We need to save that. Did you have any other comments, Margie, or any other questions?
No, I'm going to shut up again.
Okay, any other committee comments or questions? Lindsay, I did have a couple places I think we need to add Foster. The wildlife surveys, for example, and on the Silver Saddle Ranch master plan, some of those areas, they're an important element, I think, and an important partner.
Yes, no, I completely agree, and thank you for noting that they should be added. The wildlife surveys specifically are on the Buzzy's Ranch side rather than Silver Saddle, so I don't know if they would have an interest there, but I know I've talked with Nancy in the past about just assisting with bird surveys, and they're certainly very interested just in general. So,
yeah, I think just including them, and if it's outside of their scope, that's fine, but you know, it is a continuity from what we have on Silver Saddle. Okay, are there any public comments with regard to the work plan for fiscal year 2020-2021?
I don't see any public comment, Mr. Chair.
Is this when I talk?
Oh, thank you.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Is this when I talk?
Okay. I'm sorry?
This is Dan Greatak. Are you guys hearing me? This is Dan Greatak. Is this working? Hello?
Yes, Dan. We can hear you.
Hi, Dan.
Okay.
Hi, Dan.
I may be the only one doing this. So you're out of sync. If I'm looking at you on the television, I'm a little bit behind in the picture syncing up with the voice. So that's why I can't see you guys talking to me. But hello, thank you. I'm glad to be here. My name is Dan Greatak, and I'm a citizen of Carson City. I am not sure if my point should be now or if I should hold it for the old River Committee detail that's coming up. But on land acquisitions that you show on your chart, the opportunities, you only address on the west side. And we do have opportunities for land acquisition in the river corridor still. You guys understand that?
Yes, Dan, I think this is Lindsay Boyer for the record. I believe the reason why it's a West Side Opportunities Map focus is because at this point, you know, we have acquired most all the properties that we would be able to on the east side. So it was a focus there on the west side. But certainly if there were any acquisitions that came up in the river corridor, you know, that were pressing and met our various criteria, we would, you know, entertain that. So it's not that we're closed off to any opportunities on the east side, just most opportunities have moved to the west side.
Well, yeah, you know, somewhere on the spreadsheet, I think we need to be looking at the 25 acres that is now on the east bank of the river where we're going to build a trail on the west bank, and we need to protect the habitat because we're going to encroach in an area that has been pretty much protected up till now.
Dan, this is Bruce Scott. Are you thinking about that Girard property?
Yes.
Okay, the area south of
Ambrose.
And I
don't want us to just completely... Correct. Just don't want us to completely forget that that's there, because it's fallen off of the chart.
Okay. We'll take note of that. Did you have anything else to add?
No, for the work that she's looking at doing the next year. God willing, you can get it all done. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
It's an ambitious program. We're looking forward to it. Thank you, Lindsay. Are there any other public comments or committee comments with regard to item 3C, the open space work plan for next fiscal year? Okay, hearing none, this is an action item. Do we have a motion?
This is Donna Anderson. I move to approve the open space work plan for fiscal year 2020-2021 as presented.
We have a second. Motion. We have a second. Was that you, Jeremy?
That was Jeremy.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. On the discussion, I will be abstaining from this vote because Resource Concepts, my company I work for, is doing some work for, open space, and so I will recuse myself from voting on this particular item. With that, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? And I will abstain. So if I'm understanding, we had four ayes, one abstention.
Bruce, this is Jeremy.
Yes.
You raise a good point. Why don't we get somebody else to second the motion, and I will also abstain. I'm working on Kings Canyon Road and Prison Hill for the city.
I'll be glad to second.
And I will abstain.
Okay. We have a second by Alan. Let's revote on that. All in favor of the motion to adopt the work plan as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
That would be me, Jeremy.
And Bruce. So it's... So the motion then would be four in favor, one and two abstentions. Okay. Moving along and back to something that was part of the introduction of this particular staff, and that would be to recognize Lindsay as our new open space manager. Lindsay, as you are probably aware, has been recently appointed, took office this week, so to speak, or today. And we are very pleased, Lindsay, to have you as our new open space manager. We need somebody new to kick around, and we're really, really pleased that you have accepted that position. As I think the staff is aware, and we'll look at a little bit later on, we do have some clarifications and revisions on the open space manager duties that I think tailor it a little closer to the actual activities that are needed for the open space program. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm super happy to be here and ready to lead the program into the future. So thanks for having me.
Great. Youth and enthusiasm are always appreciated. Okay, the next item is a discussion of review and discussion regarding Carson River Advisory Committee's responsibilities assigned to the Open Space Advisory Committee. This is a follow-up on a request from committee member Margie Evans. You have a substantial packet that was included in our meeting information, a staff report, and quite a bit of history. Lindsay, do you want to summarize that to start?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Lindsay Boyer, Open Space Manager. So following up on Member Evans' request to kind of look at the Carson River Advisory Committee, what were the goals and priorities and objectives of that committee and making sure that they're represented and captured in the Open Space Advisory Committee. So to do that, I kind of wanted to go back in time and do a little bit of digging. And so what I did and what's included here are some minutes from the last Carson River Advisory Committee meeting, where they basically discussed the potential dissolution of that committee and what that would look like. Next, it went to the Board of Supervisors, where they voted to formally recognize and thank all the members for their contributions to that committee, and then later went to the Open Space Advisory Committee in February of 2013, where essentially, you know, we were voting to absorb all of those duties into OSAC and kind of carry that into the future. So I wanted to look at, you know, exactly what did the Carson River Advisory Committee do, you know, what was included in their bylaws. So also included in your packet are both the bylaws for the Carson River Advisory Committee and the Open Space Advisory Committee. And what I found through doing all that digging is that, you know, what was called out in the Carson River Advisory Committee bylaws was pretty vague. It has essentially one line about, you know, stewarding the Carson River. And then, you know, most of the rest of it was kind of, you know, nuts and bolts type things. And then looking at the Open Space Advisory Committee bylaws, there wasn't anything that was called out in either of those items either about absorbing those duties from the Carson River Advisory Committee. So I know that was one of Member Evans' questions, was making sure that, you know, that was captured so that the purpose and direction of the Carson River Advisory Committee didn't go away and, you know, was carried through in OSAC. And also through that digging, I found that it was advised or recommended that we have a standing item in open space advisory committee meetings for the river specifically, just to kind of capture that piece and make sure that the river is called out. So through doing all of that and looking at all the digging, I found that there is maybe a couple things to do here. You know, one, maybe a potential modification to the Open Space Advisory Committee bylaws to include something specific about the river, or including that language that was included in the Carson River Advisory Committee bylaws, just to make sure that that's officially captured as one of the priorities and directives of OSAC. And then, you know, related to that, we also wanted to just have a discussion with the committee related to the staff report updates that we provide, you know, whether we want to continue having a separate standalone item for the river for discussion purposes, or if for efficiency purposes, if it might be better to just combine those and still have a section for the river specifically, but maybe just not have two separate reports. Jen, did you have anything to add to that? So with that, I'll take any questions or discussion related to this topic.
Comments? Margie, did you have anything you wanted to add to what Lindsay said, or questions for Lindsay?
I think that Lindsay did an excellent job in researching this, and she found more things that I had recalled. So I think that's great. I feel like we need to make sure that our mission doesn't forget about the river, but I'd like to see us just, rather than separating it out and making it its own entity, I think that we could have a more holistic approach. But I don't want us to ever forget that the river is part of our responsibility.
Well, if I understood, Lindsay, what you were saying about the river is you would keep it as an agenda item for each meeting. It's just a question of how it would be presented.
Yes, currently we have, you know, the two separate agenda items, two separate staff reports for discussion, you know, one related to the river and one outside the river. So I guess our suggestion or proposal would be to still include updates related to the river, but just have that combined into one report that's updates for, you know, throughout open space areas. And there would be a river section included there, but just wouldn't be two separate agenda items or staff reports. if that was something you guys were willing to entertain.
Okay.
I completely agree with that. I don't see why we need to have two reports. You know, you just say there will be a section in that report that will address the river, and so that way we can assure that we're not going to forget it. But I completely agree with Margie and Lindsay that one report rather than two would be preferable.
Oh.
Thank you, Alan. Yes.
I'm just talking off the top of my head now, but we always have the report from Greg on trails, and I wonder if the other report could be on management. I'm thinking of our natural resource management responsibility that aren't related to that aren't specific to trails.
Yes, Margie, you bring up a good point because this is something I've considered as well, because there's a lot of potential redundancy between what Greg and I are doing with our different reports, and I'm always wondering, you know, if he's going to include something or if I need to, and so I have wondered how to resolve that, and I think, you know, what your suggestion is, having a more maintenance or natural resource focused report and then a trails report. You know, the natural resource management report would include the river. So I think between that we would have, you know, full coverage.
Does that answer your question, Margie?
Yeah, that seems like a good idea in my mind.
Okay, any other committee comments? Dan Graytek, I don't know if you're still there. As a former active member of that committee, do you have anything to add or any public comments at this time? Okay, not hearing anything. Dan did make some comments earlier, so, and I think emphasized his concern about the river, which is something that I think we need to make sure we keep in focus. And Lindsay, in your new duties as the open space manager, you can make sure that the reports blend nicely and are organized and as minimally time consuming from the standpoint of taking away from the work plan we just approved as possible. So, okay.
Yes, that's the goal. So we'll make that happen.
All right. This is a discussion item. Any final discussion? Okay. Hearing none, we'll go to item 4, staff updates. Jennifer, director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for announcing Lindsay. I do want to congratulate her. She's basically, you know, the last couple of years she's been on, I call it like a really long job interview this whole time, and she's been pitching in any way and every way possible and has just been so supportive and filling in wherever we can, and I have no doubt that she's going to fill in and lead the team really well. So we're so excited to have her here. So on that note, we did have Ann Bollinger did resign, and that was effective today. So today is Lindsay's official first day. And while we're very sad to see Ann go, I'm very confident that Lindsay's going to take that charge and move it forward. But I always look at any vacancy as an opportunity to make sure that we have everything set up how we need to make sure that we're functioning properly, that we're consistent with pay grades and titles, and don't have anything that are red flags for potential grievances within the department. So we did update the open space administrator position. The title and the job description were revised. That's in your packet for you as well. It's now the open space manager, consistent with what our other manager titles are in the department. So it's very clear that they're the manager of a division or a station. And we added a lot of changes in the job description that reflect supervision of not only natural resource management, but the staffing, land acquisitions, operation, maintenance, and management of over 7,000 open space area acres. So I think the job description is really reflective of what the job truly is on the ground. The prior job description was very vague in some areas, which created confusion in the staff and who was doing what. And I think this provides a lot of clarification. So I took this to the Internal Finance Committee for approval and revision and approval of the city manager. So this is the new job description. And then I also provided an updated organizational chart for you as well. And then we have a citywide hiring freeze with all of the budgets and COVID-19, and I'll get into that as well. So Lindsay's former position, the senior natural resource specialist, is on hold for now. It's not frozen forever. No one needs to worry about that. But we'll need to monitor the budgets over the next 3 to 6 months to see where we are financially. I don't want to have Lindsay fill that position only to have us turn around and have to let someone go if our revenues are falling shy. So with COVID-19, we've had obviously a really a shortfall throughout the nation, you know, with revenues. And in Carson City, the open space program relies primarily on sales tax as revenue. We do supplement with donations and we do supplement with grants, but we primarily rely on the sales tax revenue and that quality of life initiative, how it was established. If we look at the recession numbers in 2010, at the height of the recession, the open space budget was 50% of what the revenue is, what the budget is today, which would barely cover the existing staff salaries that are on the books. My number one priority is to keep the existing staff employed, functioning and supporting the department and especially the open space division. So we want to just be really cognizant of where those revenues go. We have sales tax runs 2 months in arrears, so we won't really know until July and August how this is really affecting us now. And we'll keep a tight eye on that budget. Also, we have vacant. Our invasive plants coordinator did resign, so we're going to keep that vacant for a bit as well. That is partially grant-funded. But Lindsay's taken on those duties and working with Jared, our maintenance, open space maintenance coordinator as well, to take on some of those duties that the invasive plants coordinator previously held. So while we don't like to see those vacancies, I think it's really important that we kind of stay the course right now and monitor those revenues. Related to the budget, we had such a great discussion about our hopes and dreams at our last meeting about the budget and a new park ranger and tools and equipment we were going to purchase. And unfortunately, that whole budget sort of out the window now. We can't hire anybody new. We can't create new positions and any capital improvement purchases. So any purchases over $5,000, things like that are on hold throughout the entire city, not just with our department. So we need to really be monitoring the revenues coming forward. If you watched the last Board of Supervisors meeting, the chief financial officer was projecting a 35% loss in revenue, and then that's being monitored. And I think there's additional budget updates that we'll get on Thursday at the Board of Supervisors meeting, and then I can report any updates that I get onto all of you so you know where we're at as far as that sales tax revenue goes. We do get updates about every other month on that. So I know that was a lot in a really short time, but I'm happy to answer any questions about the job description, the organizational chart, the budget, any of our vacant positions that we have. We do have a park maintenance, full-time park maintenance worker position that is also temporarily frozen that we would love to fill, but aren't going to at this time.
Thank you, Jennifer. Is there any committee comment or question?
I was wondering whether the budget discussions have included impacts on professional services.
So as of right now, the budget that was approved for next year by the Board of Supervisors, and I think the second budget approval happens on Thursday, was basically a status quo budget. So we would still have allocations for professional services and all the typical allocations that we have. Just the items that were new that we discuss, like the park ranger position, the equipment, like the tool cat we wanted to purchase and some other of those capital items won't be moving forward. And then any rollover money the Board of Supervisors has directed, so money that we don't spend this year in anyone's budget, not just the open space budget, if there's rollover funding, which we typically have because we don't spend all of our money, goes into an undesignated line item to serve as a buffer if there are budget cuts. And that'll be the first line item that would be addressed. But we will still have money for professional services and all of the items on the work plan. I have no doubt that all those items can still move forward despite the concerns for the budget.
Any other questions, Alan?
No, thank you, Jennifer.
Okay, any other questions, committee members? Joanne, I see you there. Nice to see you.
You're all along. Can you hear me?
Yes. Comments? Any comments or questions?
No.
Okay. I think there's no doubt that the sales tax revenues are going to be way off. But as we look at later this summer and maybe in the fall, there's a possibility that we'll have a better chance in open space if sales tax revenues begin to respond to be able to do some things that right now we're going to have to hold on. And I would mention to the committee that I have briefly discussed with the city manager the idea, or I guess the reminder, that our funding is not general funding, and although we obviously have to be have money to do anything, that we conceivably would have the ability to make a case for consideration of some of the open positions that we have if we could demonstrate a revenue stream from sales tax that was independent of any general fund requirement. So I don't know that we'll get there, but I did make a pitch, if you will, to the city manager for her to be aware of that, so that if we have the opportunity, we don't have to wait for the city as a whole if we can demonstrate our ability to move forward based on the revenues, conservative revenues that we might have. Are there any public comments regarding the director's report? Yes, Jen.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. One more. I did want to let you know that the lands bill was introduced to the House of Representatives. I'll email you out. I was trying to find right now what the House number was, but I don't have the bill number right now. You can log on to the federal website, and you can sign up for updates on that bill. So when it's time to either send in support comments or things like that, you can be sent an email link. So I'll email the entire committee and let them know the number of that bill and the information on how to comment when the time comes.
Great. Thank you. Be interesting to watch that one move. Okay. Any other comments from the committee? Any questions for Jennifer? And one last Schott, are there any public comments?
I see no public comment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, discussion only, activities related to trail projects managed by the Open Space Division. Mr. Berggren.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We are very excited to be able to move forward with the Carson River Trail system. The project went out to bid. We received five bids, and one of the bids was low enough that we will be able to construct all three segments of the trail, which includes the hill segment, a segment through Silver Saddle Ranch, and then a third segment through Buzzy's Ranch. So that that bid or the contract will go to the board this Thursday for approval. One of the other exciting things about this project is that the Prison Hill segment will make up a portion of what will ultimately be a multi-use trail all the way around Prison Hill. And so we're really looking forward to getting this project started in June. And as most things in Carson City, we hope to have it completed by Nevada Day. other projects on Prison Hill, the motorized area. Right now we are doing Section 106 compliance for National Historic Preservation Act. Once that is completed, we'll be able to move forward with construction of new trails, along with decommissioning of fall line trails and installation of water management structures. In the meantime, one of the important things that we're trying to do is make sure that people understand where they can go and where they can't go. And to that end, we have produced an interim map, which is posted on our kiosk sign at the staging area. There's also paper copies available at the kiosk, and it's available online. And some of our partners, OHV partners, have it on their websites as well. And there's a QR code on the map which allows people to download the map onto their mobile device, and they can actually geolocate themselves when they're traveling in the OHV area. So it's a big step forward to being able to help people understand where they can and can't go. We've also been installing signage and some fencing in certain areas that we're trying to keep people out of, near homes and environmentally sensitive areas, and keeping them out of our, for example, our erosion control project on the east side of Prison Hill. Let's see, Mexican Dam. So the improvements to the crossing over the Mexican ditch intake structure is almost completed. That should be finished within the next few weeks. And once that is done, we're working with volunteers to help design and construct a takeout so that we could actually extend the aquatic trail farther into Carson Valley, and people would be able to take out their boats above the dam and portage around the dam using this new bridge that we're building. And then along with that, it will be another important component in future construction of a loop trail around Prison Hill. So that's another project that we're almost complete on and very excited about. The Fifth Street Trailhead, we're very proud of that. I believe, Mr. Chairman, that you referenced that earlier tonight. So we've completed the trails, we've completed the parking lot, we've done the fencing, we've got the kiosk sign up. We're getting a lot of usage there, especially right now with all the COVID-19 social distancing and stay-at-home orders. People have been flocking to our trailheads in unprecedented numbers, and we're getting a lot of visitation to these trails, which I might mention they were constructed to be 4 feet wide so that they are available to, or possibly available to, someone with an adaptive mountain bike. Waterfall Trailhead Parking Area, also known as the Kings Canyon Trailhead. We just received 70% plans. I haven't had a chance to review them yet, but we'll be coming back to the joint meeting in June with those plans. And that's slated for construction in 2021. Capital Tahoe Lincoln Bypass Trails. We're still waiting for completion of the cultural report for the for those trails. And once that is complete and turned into Forest Service and they have a chance to do their public scoping, then we can begin moving forward with that project. In the meantime, the portion of the Capital to Tahoe Trail that goes through the state park has been cleared by the state park. And so once conditions allow, we'll bustle powered plans on starting hand construction on the upper portion of that trail. Centennial Trails, that Muscle Power submitted a pretty comprehensive plan to the BLM for that trail system, which will include connections to Washoe Lake State Park and to Virginia City. And so we're hoping to start conversations with the BLM to start working on a scope of work so we can start working on clearances for that trail system, which will allow a lot of connectivity to into Story County and Washoe County to the north. National Trails Day, unfortunately, we won't be able to have an event like we normally have. So we are working on a video that will be, should be, well, we'll be able to distribute the video on social media and some other means before National Trails Day. But it also gives us an opportunity to really thank our volunteers who do so much work for us all year long, in particular Muscle Powered, who has done so much work with regard to designing and constructing trails. And even right now, they are working on trail maintenance as individual families or as just individuals themselves. And with that, that's all I have. Are there any questions on those updates?
Comments or questions from the committee to Greg? Greg, it's great to see so many different things going. That's really good. We're beginning to plug some things together and really see some connectivity, and that's really nice. Are there any public comments?
I see no public comment, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on to our next one. Lindsay, activities, projects, and grants managed by Open Space located within the Carson River Corridor. Looking over the bow of a kayak, it looks like.
Yes, so thank you, Mr. Chair. So the first item on here I wanted to highlight, one of the activities that we tried to bring to residents virtually during all of this coronavirus business. So our recreation superintendent, Dan Earp, he put together this video blog related to the aquatic trail. So he floated the river and kind of talked all things open space and aquatic trail and, you know, boating etiquette, and really just tried to kind of bring attention to the river as the great recreation resource that it is, and kind of promote an awesome, safe social distancing activity while we're at it. So that's just one example of the things that we've been up to as a department trying to promote, you know, trails and open space while everyone's been in quarantine. Other items, over at Buzzy's Ranch, we've been working with RCI and NRCS for the past year to develop a conservation plan out at Buzzy's Ranch. And this is a plan to address a few different things out there, but one of the big ones is figuring out what to do when we don't have as much water that we can apply to the property. So to that end, working with NRCS, we've established a couple of test plots out at Buzzy's Ranch that were seeded in the fall of 2019. And they were seeded with a variety of different species. And the goal was basically to look at, you know, what species are most successful under different water regimes. So the two test plots that we have, one's in a wet area and one's in a very dry area. So that'll give us some sense of, you know, as water regimes change, you know, what can we do with the property? How can we best restore some areas back to a more native condition while keeping some of those fields irrigated? So I just heard from my colleague over at RCI that NRCS will be out there tomorrow doing some monitoring and just looking at what came up and what was successful over the winter. So we'll have more results there. Related to the test wells, I know I sent out an update related to that after our last meeting, but just for the record, you know, all the test drilling was completed on those areas out at Buzzy's Ranch where they were looking at potentially putting in a well. Essentially, based on the soil compounds and results of those tests, they were found that those areas were not going to be suitable for any development of water infrastructure. One site located at the northernmost point of the ranch was identified as suitable, but given its proximity to other water infrastructure, it was also ruled out. So at this time, there aren't any more plans related to doing any more testing out there for putting water infrastructure out at the ranch. Out in Carson River Canyon open space, we had a fire out there 2 years ago, I believe now, in the summer. And so we worked with the Dream Tags Foundation of Nevada to get a grant, and we were able to do some reseeding and some plateau treatments out there. So we've completed all the work for that project. I need to get out and do some spring monitoring just to confirm, you know, what came up and what was successful to report back to the grant. But that's all complete, and hopefully things are looking pretty good out there. I know some of the species that I included were some pollinator-friendly flowers, so we did have a bunch of sunflowers and things like that coming up last year, which was exciting. related to events in open space in Carson City as a whole, due to COVID-19, we've essentially canceled all of our events actually through June 15th at this point, so this has been updated since then. And one thing to note specifically, the Carson City off-road race, the Epic race, has been officially canceled, unfortunately, if you guys hadn't heard that. So at this point, we kind of are in a holding pattern with any events. We're not really planning a whole lot just as we wait to see how things progress with COVID. Just some capital improvement projects to highlight at Silver Saddle Ranch that were completed early in this year. One was the furnace installation within the Red House. That was a long time coming project. We now have the furnace installed. It's hooked up to gas and everything is good to go. So we're going to be able to better manage the heat out there and deal with cold temperatures, and it'll be much more efficient and much less expensive to heat Silver Saddle Ranch now, which is very exciting. That was all Jared Whitaker, our open space maintenance coordinator. And then another project he was able to complete earlier this year was demolition of the White House, which is located near the maintenance shop out at Silver Saddle. So if you guys hadn't heard or seen, that White House is now down and out. We wanted to get that done in anticipation of the trails that will be coming through there later this year. And then just a brief update related to the stewardship plan for Silver Saddle Ranch. This has been kind of a long time coming project as well. We did receive back edits related to the preservation plan that we worked with a consultant to produce for Silver Saddle Ranch. So the next steps are just to update that plan with all the edits that SHPO provided. And then once all of that is finalized and approved, we can move forward with establishing that stewardship program out at Silver Saddle Ranch, which I know has been a goal of SHPO and ours for a while. And there's quite a few other items that we want to work with SHPO on and, you know, introduce me in this new capacity and figure out how we can move forward on a lot of projects that have been kind of hanging out. So we hope to have a lot of discussions and momentum with SHPO over the next year or so. So with that, concludes all the updates within Carson River area. I'll take any questions.
Any comments or questions for Lindsay on open space items? Okay, seeing none, any public comments?
Sorry, Bruce, I got a little late for the...
Oh, no problem. Go ahead, Jerry.
Lindsay, I'm not sure if this item is about what's going to happen with the future. I mean, there's two items that you're addressing. There's a discussion about projects, and there's a discussion only of activities and projects throughout the areas of Bass Bay Open Space. Which one are we on? I'm sorry, C or D?
We're currently on the item that's focused on the river corridor specifically.
That's C.
Thank you very much. Sorry.
C.
Did you want to comment on D, Jerry?
I do.
Okay. All right. Why don't we just go into that? Lindsay, do you want to proceed with activities, projects, and grants throughout other areas managed by the Open Space Division, item 4D?
Sure. So some other items here. Ash Canyon Road, as you guys know, we help manage that road. We do any maintenance that's required on the road every year. And as a result, we have a gate that is right there at the Ash to Kings trailhead that we keep closed during the winter to protect the road from, you know, motorized users traveling on it when it's wet, as well as for safety purposes. It can be pretty unsafe to travel up in that area when there's snow on the ground. So we've essentially just been monitoring the road and completing any maintenance in the meantime. And I am happy to announce that the gate is now open and the road all the way up to Hobart is now accessible by motorized vehicles. So we get a lot of calls about that. And I know everyone is very excited in the community to be able to get up there as another activity since things are still somewhat closed down. Related to the Carson City Weed Coalition, we heard earlier that our invasive plants coordinator, Shyla Pearson, resigned from her position in March. So it was unfortunate to see her go. She relocated to the Washington area, so she moved on to other pastures. So essentially in the meantime, I'm more or less acting in that position. I've delegated a lot of those roles to Jared Whitaker, our open space maintenance coordinator. So he's been coordinating treatment, this year and helping me to spend out those grant funds. So between the grant funds and, an open space contributions, we'll be able to treat, pretty much the whole river corridor. As well as some, you know, parks properties such as the Empire Ranch Trail that wouldn't normally have funding. We're using grant funding to support that. So we're able to spend those grant funds out and get some treatment done where it's really critical. So if you have any noxious weed related issues, you know, send them my way. The sheep project this year was very interesting, to say the least. So a lot of things have happened with the sheep project. Most notably and very exciting, we worked with RCI to update our grazing plan. So that was a big push. The last time it was updated was in, I believe, 2011. So it's been some time. We wanted to revisit the grazing program and really make sure that it was effective and efficient. And there were also some additional stakeholders that we wanted to bring into the fold. So this year we were able to work with the Washoe Tribe to graze the Carson Colony lands that are behind a greenhouse garden there. And that's the first time that they've participated in this grazing program since its inception. So that was very exciting. And they were very excited to participate this year as well. So I think that will be a great partnership moving forward. The Forest Service on their end also received some internal permission to graze Borda Meadow again, which is one that used to be grazed long ago and hasn't been grazed for a very long time. And there's a lot of fuel building up in that area. And, you know, of course, it's right in the Kings Canyon neighborhood backyard. So that will be an important one to graze this year. They should be heading that way in about a week. But so we also had some exciting things happen. You guys might have saw on the news that one of the bands, so we had two bands this year, one located on the north end of town and one on the south end. So the north band was a little squirrely and they escaped their herder and nearly made it onto 395 before the park rangers and citizens of Lakeview herded them back into the hills. So that was very exciting. And there's been just a few other interesting incidents like that related to the sheep. So certainly a two-band year created, you know, a little bit of extra work for us as it related to managing all those sheep. But the goal was to be able to really do some good solid fuel reduction behind WNC in that area. By the time we normally reach that area with the sheep, things have basically gone to seed there. So we wanted to try to get better control in that area as well. So very exciting year for the sheep program for sure. Other items highlighted on here, I know that Greg talked about the Kings Canyon Waterfall Trailhead. Related to the dirt road portion specifically, we did receive a subgrant award from the Nevada OHV program to support the cultural review portion of that project. So that's been kind of the last outstanding item. The Forest Service has completed their repair design, and we just need to complete the cultural review in order to proceed, which is in progress right now, which is very exciting. And once that's complete, we'll be able to utilize the $142,000 that we were awarded from the Recreational Trails Program to complete the actual repair of the dirt road. Of course, the RTP program has seen some delays with COVID-19, so we haven't actually been given those funds yet, or they haven't released them, but they'll be coming down the pipe, and we're still working on cultural in the meantime. So other items here, there's a bit on land acquisitions, but mostly we haven't had a whole lot of updates to report on in those realms. We have been working with Nevada Land Trust on a few different items, and they've been waylaid a bit due to COVID-19 as well. And I guess just lastly, a few things to note. I think that's already been mentioned. Personnel-wise, we are bringing back on an open space maintenance seasonal this year. He started today. He's a returner from last year, so we will have some extra hands as it relates to maintenance this summer. And then the only other item to report is that we are working on a baseline monitoring report for the Prison Hill OHV area to kind of complement all the work that we've been doing over there and to track progress through time and changes over time and to be able to assess, you know, what's going on the hill. So that will be forthcoming as well. So with that, I will take any questions.
Questions of Lindsay. Jerry, did you have one?
I really do. I noticed that everybody's talking about the OHV area of Prison Hill. And I know that the Prison Hill area that is next adjacent, and I've been trying to deal with for several years, is the west side of the open space area. Whose area? I mean, it says right here that who's going to be, and Greg has an agenda item, apparently, on our June agenda. But, I mean, whose agenda should this really be on? Is it going to be on open spaces or Parks and Rec? And if it's open space, then that's fine. I don't know, but which one is it going to be on? Does that make any sense? I think it did, but...
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Jerry. So a few items there. So as you noted, Greg does have the Prison Hill management plan that's going to be coming to both OSAC and the Parks and Recs Commission next month. And that includes that area that you're referencing, the west side of Prison Hill. It includes, you know, results from the survey that we completed, as well as the open house and all the comments that were captured there. You know, of course, we had developed those trailhead designs, and we captured comment from residents on, you know, what they wanted to see there. So all of that has been put together in a fantastic report or plan that will be coming to both committees. So that will provide some kind of guidelines for what to do with the area. But I'm sure, as you know, that particular piece of property is odd in that it's, you know, parks and public purpose. So it didn't come to open space specifically, you know, didn't necessarily come to parks specifically. And so we've been kind of working together as a department to figure out who's going to manage that and how, what's needed, what funding sources are available to help us out. So it's definitely a bit of a pickle, but I think the direction so far from the committee has been for open space to come up with a plan and a direction in terms of what should be done with that piece of property, which I think we've been working on. Jen, do you have anything to add there? Did that answer your question, Jerry?
Not entirely, but I want to hear what Jen has to say.
Thanks, Jerry. Jennifer Budge, Parks and Recreation Director. So as Lindsay said, the Prison Hill Master Plan will be discussed at the joint meeting between the Parks and Rec Commission and the Open Space Advisory Committee in June. So we'll have it as a group effort and a group discussion. And there is recommendations as in that plan as to who's going to manage that area. But it is city property in the end, and it's under the responsibility of the department. So we need to make sure we have adequate staff and financial resources identified for that area, regardless of who it is. So it's responsibility of the department. We're going to make sure that it's addressed adequately in that master plan, and we can talk about that specific area with both committees. Does that help?
So it's my understanding that at the June meeting of both committees, that this item is going to be addressed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jerry, just to follow up on that, I think we want to go to that June meeting with an idea, potentially, of what we would like to see. You know, I know that one of the fears is if nobody's designated as the lead, nothing is liable to happen. And I think we have to be prepared at that meeting to have a discussion and hopefully be able to make some decisions going forward as to how that might happen to try to address it when the more extensive finance capability is available.
And we'll have, Greg's been doing an amazing job and has put together a draft that all the staff is reviewing right now. You'll have the draft master plan in advance of the meeting, so you can read through that see what the staff's proposed plan is for that area, as well as all of Prison Hill. I know we've had requests for a couple different topics regarding events and other things, natural resource management, all things Prison Hill. We're going to encompass all of those topics in that discussion.
Okay, so hopefully that'll be an action item of some kind. So we'll be able to hash that out, Jerry, the way I would see it, and
it will be an action item.
Plan. Yeah.
Well, I just want to put this in there that it has been my discovery that this area has always been the redheaded stepchild of Carson City. It's been totally ignored for years and years, and nobody really knows what to do with it. So if we're going to move forward with this, let's please move forward with this. Thank you. That's all I got to say about it.
So in the plan, we'll have maps and a clear plan on what's proposed for that area. And then once the plan's approved, we can try to seek funding to make sure that that happens.
Great. I look forward to the June meeting.
Yep. That's... Any other questions for Lindsay or Jennifer regarding the other activities, open space activities?
This is Donna Anderson. Lindsay, I was on the Empire Ranch Trail yesterday, and I can see where we're dealing with, I don't know whether it's Hoary Crest or White Top, but on the Empire Ranch property, they don't seem to be dealing with it. Is there anything we can do to make them deal with it?
Yes, that's a really good point, Donna. And yeah, we did just complete a treatment out there. It is Hoary Crest that we're dealing with primarily. There is pepperweed as well. So the Empire Ranch Trail, you know, obviously was damaged pretty severely in 2017. We worked with FEMA to repair that trail. It took some time. In the time that it took to organize that with FEMA, we had a huge growth of weeds, both noxious and invasive. So we kind of had to do a two-step process. One was going in there with an NDF crew just to mechanically remove everything just so we could get in. And then the second step of that process was to be able to go in and actually do chemical removal. So to be fair to the golf course, you know, we haven't been necessarily doing our best in terms of weed management over there in the past year or so just because of access and relating to the trail needing to get fixed and things like that. So now that we've been able to get in and gain access and do treatment on our side of things, I think the golf course would be willing and need to treat on their side as well. But I think to be fair, you know, we needed to do our part as well, which we now have done. So I agree that needs to be a conversation with the golf course and is on my radar for sure.
The trail is beautiful now. It's just fantastic. But yeah, I could see that we're treating our stuff now, but they're not treating theirs, which is like, it's sort of the work we've done now is going to be for nothing if they don't treat theirs.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And that area in particular is just, you know, the lines between properties are just so tight. So we definitely need to work with them closely on treatment. And now that we've been able to do our part, we can bring that up to their attention.
Okay, any other comments or questions of Lindsay on item 4D? Okay, any public?
Welcome, Lindsay. And I'm happy to be for the opportunity to be able to work with you. That's all. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerry. I appreciate that. And likewise, I look forward to working with you all more.
Okay, any public comment at this point?
Mr. Chair, it looks like we do have someone for public comment.
Okay. Please proceed. Public comment.
Hi, this is Dan Graycak again. And it's kind of tough on our end to get through because it jumps around. So
I may be talking about something that I probably should have said somewhere else, but when we're looking at the Mexican Dam trail crossing, what we need to do before we get a lot of people running, because it's warm and I see more people in the corridor in the river than I ever have, we need to get some signage upstream of the dam so people who really don't know what they're doing can figure out how to get to that break before they go over the end. And I think if we're going to start encouraging people up that end of the river, a sign up there is something we should be getting in there right away.
That's a great comment, Dan, and I completely agree, and that's something that I've thought of too as we work to complete that and start inviting people to run that part of the river. So I'll make sure that Greg and our maintenance staff work on that. So thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you, Dan. Anything else?
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, item number 5, member announcements and requests for information. Committee members, anything to proffer at this point in time? All right.
Hi, Donna.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is Donna. Just a couple of quick things. The Historic Virginia and Truckee Trail, even though we're kind of not doing a lot right now. Couple of things. Nikki Cutler, I think, is the program manager for Wicker, and it's not Wicker. Preserve, it's on the north end of Washoe Lake, that White House. She's with BLM, and she's the project manager for that preserve. Anyway, they have 4 miles of the old railroad bed. She contacted me and very much wants the B&T Trail to be on that piece of the old railroad bed. So that's very exciting news for us. And the other exciting piece is that National Park Services has agreed to design our logo for us. So we're going to have our logo. And Ann McGuire sent me a link. A friend of hers who's an Amtrak engineer has taken and overlaid onto a video, a flyover video from Reno to Carson City. He's overlaid the old original alignment of the V&T, and so you can actually, flying over the route, see where the V&T was over what it is today, land is today. So if anybody's interested in seeing that, it goes pretty fast, so you get a little dizzy doing it, but it's really exciting to see where the V&T was, where the land is today, and where all the buildings are and everything. So just those little bits of information.
Hey Donna, where is that link available?
I'll send you the link. It's a YouTube video.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, send it.
Do you have my email address? Because I'd like you to send it to me as well.
Yeah,
Or send it to Lindsay and she can distribute it, either way.
Yeah, I'll send the link to Patty so that she can, because I don't think I have all of your private emails.
Thank you.
No, it's fun to watch. I want to slow it down so I can really see it.
Joanne, very yawning.
All right, thank you.
I'll turn my video off next time.
I'm sorry, Joanne?
Nothing.
Okay. Any other comments, member comments, or requests for information? Okay, hearing none. Future agenda items. We have a list that includes our Parks and Rec meeting. We touched on parts of that earlier. Anything to add to that, Jennifer or Lindsay?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jennifer Budge, Parks and Rec Director. I don't have anything to add. I'm not sure if the committee members do, but I did get a message from the district attorney's office, Mihaela. So if we have any board members that need to have disclosures or potentially need to abstain from a vote, Mihaela can draft a disclosure for you. So that way we cover everything before the discussion and before anything's voted on. So she's able to help with any of those. I know we had two abstentions earlier, but that way those disclosures are clear and she's more than happy to help with that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anything else on future agenda items?
Bruce.
Yes.
Bruce, back before future agenda items, I was trying to unmute. I have a question about the BLM. We were going to meet our parks, or Jennifer or someone's going to meet with the BLM about the restrictions that we need to be observing. And I'm just wondering if we can do that maybe by video conference. Maybe their calendars are a little more open right now while we're all social distancing. If it's possible to get that meeting, we could do it all remotely.
Margie, just to update you, and that was not included anywhere in this packet, so I apologize. But to update you, we actually did have that meeting already. It was a little while ago. There were several people on the call, folks from this committee, folks from Foster, the BLM, probably some others that I'm forgetting, but we did sit down with them and we talked at great length related to homestead holidays and the conservation easement and the restrictions, and they provided us some guidance and direction, and essentially the plan moving forward was to work with the BLM to further refine and define those activities that are outlined in the conservation easement so that we have a better understanding of, you know, what it means to have a carnival or a fair, things like that, moving forward. So that conversation has actually already taken place, and I apologize that you were not aware.
It is in here somewhere because I saw a reference to it.
Oh, okay, so I slipped it in somewhere.
I saw it. Maybe I didn't read well enough.
No, I did see a reference that basically they're going to assist in providing definition in some of those areas. I'm quite sure I read that earlier. So, but we will keep it in focus. It is an important element to get clarified. It has been considered and discussed with Foster, and it's an ongoing activity to close that loop with BLM.
And just to clarify,
I just thank you all for
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Margie.
Thank you for working on it and getting. I was hoping we'd have some answers in time to plan a good event for this coming Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely want to, you know, figure out things and have a better understanding moving forward. And just to clarify, I guess we did have two meetings. One was on site. The BLM came out. We visited Silver Saddle as well as some other properties that are under the conservation easement, like Prison Hill. And then that was followed up with a virtual call related to homestead holidays specifically. So we'll be moving forward on those items with the BLM over the next year.
Okay, anything else?
This is Donna. Can we have a report on what was discussed in those meetings and what the outcome of those meetings were?
Yes, absolutely. I have some notes that were taken from one of those meetings I could provide, or I could condense them down into a smaller update, you know, within these routine updates that we provide you, you know, whichever you would prefer.
Just so that we have an idea of what the outcome was from those meetings. Thank you.
I think the outcome is yet to be finalized, but we definitely had the conversation, discussed the limitations, the concerns, and the potential interpretation of the conservation easement and the act itself. And the BLM is going to provide some additional information and some assistance, if you will, in better defining what some of those activities mean, or what some of the lack of mention, how we should handle some of the elements like parking or like numbers, how you count, those kinds of things I would expect would be part of the process as we go forward to finalize. But it wasn't a decision-making meeting, it was a discussion, Donna, and more information and feedback from BLM to follow type of thing. So it's going to be important that we kind of track with BLM so that we really know well ahead of next winter and the planning for homestead holidays, what, if any, adjustments are going to need to be made. Okay, anything else? And by the way, Jeremy and I attended that meeting, so it's his fault. Anyway, I'll take advantage of this delay in the sound. Are there any other comments from committee members, or any other questions or information for staff?
Yes, I have a comment.
Yes, Jerry.
I'm just happy to see that everybody's okay, and yeah, it's great to see everybody. That's all.
Well, thank you. It's really, I think we're all pretty fortunate right now. Hopefully we can stay that way and be careful. Okay. Last element for public comment. Are there any final public comments to be made?
I see no public comment, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Anything from the committee, or do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to be adjourned.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. On that, we will adjourn the meeting, and thank you very much.
Good night, everybody.
Bruce, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Jen.